What's up, Conference USA fans? Welcome back to another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. We have a jam-packed show for you today, previewing all seven of the Conference USA bowl matchups coming up just this week. Super excited to get to that. But before we do, I want to introduce the guests. Yes, I said guests joining us here on the show today. Of course, we have Josh Yonas joining us once again. I don't know, maybe your final one because it's football season is rounding out to a close, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, might be taking a break here. Let Eric and Jess come on to take over the basketball portion. But yeah, it's been a fun season. Excited to talk bowls.
It has been fun. And we have someone else here to help us talk bowls. Our Associate Commissioner of Football, Trey Stallings, is here joining us today. Trey, thank you so much for being on the show. It's always fun when you're here because we get to really talk in depth about some stuff. So thanks for joining us.
Yeah, glad to be here. Glad to be here. Looking forward to the conversation. And we'll see you at Texas.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to it. And we do want to say a quick congratulations to the Kennesaw State Owls. We have not had an episode since they won their first Conference USA championship. An incredible game. If you did not get a chance to watch it, so you gotta find it somewhere, because yeah, it was a good one.
Even just the last 4 or 5 minutes, exactly, were a movie. So
it was a great time. Speaking of movies, great cinematic recap out there on social media if you'd like to go watch it. Thank you to Dane Lewis, who did a great job on that. But moving on to bowl season, we have 7 Conference USA teams representing us in bowls this year, the most since 2021 when we had 7 again. And so it's really great to have this many teams back in the fold again. And I'm just really excited to get things underway. Technically, it's tomorrow as we record here on a Monday. But when you guys see this, it'll be later today that we are doing bowl games. So first things first, is it the IS4S? Is that how we're saying it? The IS4S Salute to Veterans Bowl?
Yeah.
All right. They're in Montgomery, Alabama. Jacksonville State taking on Troy on ESPN at 8 p.m. Central Time. Guys, I'm just going to kind of let you guys get to it. What are you guys thinking about this game?
Yeah, I mean, we start off our bowl schedule with an absolute banger. You get a great in-state matchup between Jack State and Troy. I know this one was kind of one that when, you know, Trey, as you can kind of allude to, like when we were working through the bowl stuff, like this one they really keyed in on as a potential matchup and really did everything to try and make it happen, because there's just so much story here. You know, both schools are just a couple. Troy, I don't even think they're an hour away. But I know, you know, Jack State's a couple hours from Montgomery. So both teams will travel really well. So I think this one will be really well attended. But yeah, looking forward to this one. You go back to, I've started to see a lot of the older fans kind of come out talking about this rivalry. And, you know, the first meeting since 2001, they played, I mean, you look here more than 60 times prior to them kind of splitting ways a little bit. And now, you know, coming back together. But Jack State leads the all-time series. But Troy got the better of them towards the end of that series. But yeah, I'm super excited about this matchup.
And you look at, we watched this team in the Conference USA Championship, didn't come out on the right side of that for them in Jacksonville State. But what are you looking at from the Gamecocks team to be able to go out there and get a win against Troy? And is this the first bowl game of the year?
Second? No, we had one just this weekend, the LA Bowl.
I was on vacation, everyone. I missed that one. But Trey, what are you thinking that the Gamecocks need to do to accomplish a win in this one?
Hey, Jacksonville State has an identity, and I think everyone in the country realizes what their identity is. As long as they're competitive in their strengths, I think that'd be just fine. Again, because in a cold weather game, which is what we're anticipating on tomorrow night, they should be able to just line up, play their brand of football, and really see if they can come out on top.
And when you talk about their brand of football, you look at this team leading the FBS with 108 runs of 10-plus yards. Big chunk run plays for this team. Josh, anything that you're looking forward to in this game in particular?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really comes down to what Trey said. Like, Cam Cook and Caden Creel will really define how this game goes for Jacksonville State, because I think that this matches up really well for them with, you know, just you look at how many yards Troy allows on the year. They're 98th in FBS in runs of 10 plus yards allowed. So they've been burned by those chunk plays. You look at the battle in the trenches on offense for Jack State will be big. And obviously they do that all year long because of how well they've been able to move the ball. But you look at this Troy front that's top 40 in the nation in sacks and tackles for loss, you know, that they're top 40 passing defense, which obviously Jack State looking at that and they're like, all right, that's fine. We'll just, you know, hand the ball off, you know, 30, 40 times to our guys because they're, you know, they rank 113th in rushing defense. So I think if Jacksonville State can just maintain their identity, just kind of stick to what they do best, this game should go pretty well for them.
And Trey, what do you think it would mean for this team coming off of a Conference USA championship berth, as we mentioned, didn't win, but first year under head coach Kelly, to go out, win a bowl game against an in-state historic rival against Troy? What do you think it would mean for that team finishing out 2025 with a win like that?
I think it would mean a lot. I'll take it back to what Josh said earlier about just the historic context of the game itself. Like, there are a lot of built-in storylines in this one that really have Jacksonville State on the edge of the seat just anticipating this game. So I think that it's going to be an exciting game. I think Jack State is going to go out again, playing to their identity, and really hopefully come out on top.
Yes, both of these teams sitting at 8-5 on the year, so we'll have to see how this one turns out. Again, this game Tuesday, December 16th, Jacksonville State versus Troy on ESPN at 8 p.m. Central Time. All right, rolling on to Wednesday, we've got a jam-packed week this week. I think we have 4 bowl games just this week, not counting the ones of next week. So the 68 Ventures Bowl down there in Mobile, Alabama, Wednesday, December 17th, we get to see the Delaware Blue Hens take on Louisiana on ESPN, 7:30 p.m. Central Time. Excited for Delaware to make it into this game. We didn't know if it was going to happen there for a large chunk of the season, but they're one of 4 teams to appear in a bowl game while in the process of transitioning into the FBS. Most of those teams have come from Conference USA.
We have 3 of the 4. Yes. So.
A lot of fun to watch here, but I'll let you guys talk about what do you think the Blue Hens need to accomplish in this game to come out with a W?
Yeah, so I think we'll start there, right? Like, it's their first time being in a bowl game. Everything this season has been such a learning experience for them, just playing a new level of football, a new league, just kind of learning so many different things. And then, you know, you get kind of a tough matchup because, you know, you have to go all the way down to Alabama. So, you know, I'm sure they'll have a good amount of fans there, but it's still a tough draw regionally. And then you're facing a Louisiana team who obviously has been in the conversation, the Sun Belt, you know, for years now. They're one of 7 FBS teams that's been in a bowl game in each of the last 8 years. So they kind of get it, right? They get the routine of going on the road, doing this whole, you know, weird schedule. You haven't played in a few weeks and you jump right back into it to practice for a big game. So that part does concern me just because Louisiana, again, has that experience of being in the postseason like this. But, you know, I hope just for Delaware, they continue to just kind of soak it all in, right, in year 1 in FBS, because this, as you mentioned, an incredible opportunity that they got, luckily, just with how many teams ended up being eligible. I'm excited for the Blue Hens to get to the postseason.
Yeah, me as well. And Trey, I'll bring it to you because I think that one thing that Josh and I talked about a lot on this show throughout the entire year was how based on Nick Minicucci this offense was and how he's going to have to play great in this game in order to come out with a win. Anything that you're expecting out of him or the offense in general in this game?
Yeah, again, I think that you cannot go away from what got you to this point, right? I think that, again, the way Delaware is kind of you know, really shown up in Conference USA play, let alone, you know, how they played against UConn early in the season. I think those are the things that we want to see out of Delaware. Again, playing to their strengths, make sure they don't veer, you know, far away from what they've always relied on throughout the season. Man, they have incredible playmakers on the outside. That's what I like to see out of Delaware, is really them allowing their receivers to go out and make plays. And then Nick, when he has to take off and run, make plays outside the pocket, he's been really effective at doing it. Hopefully that continues to be their process and how they kind of be able to march the ball out field. And Josh, to your point, I'll say this. Like, I think about Sam Houston from last season playing their first FBS bowl game, right? I think Delaware will have a similar type of excitement to play in the game that'll be different than Louisiana. So hopefully they can carry over through 4 quarters and not just be a first quarter, you know, kind of excitement. And then it's going to be a good game.
I think
a good atmosphere. I think the Delaware fans are going to show some love and show up at the game on the OCI play.
Yeah, I love that you said that because this is kind of old hat for Louisiana. I mean, I did not, but I read that you wrote, Josh, that this is the only, what is it, that one of 7 teams that have been to a bowl game in the last 8 seasons. Yeah. I was kind of surprised by that because I feel like I always call them ULL. I can't get away from that.
There's a lot of people that are going to hate that.
Yeah. I just feel like they've kind of been, I don't know, middle of the pack a lot of years in the Sun Belt these past couple of years, but they've done enough to make it to bowl games. But yeah, Delaware just has that fire within them. This is their first one, their first opportunity to really get on the national stage. I guess not the first opportunity on national stage, but first opportunity in the postseason on a national stage to really get out there and show what they can do. But like you mentioned, Nick Minicucci, only player in Division One this year with at least 3,500 passing yards and 10 rushing touchdowns this season.
And that's FBS or FCS.
Oh,
which,
okay.
Across Division One.
Both leagues. Yeah. So, and then we talked about it a lot. I mean, lots of 300 plus yard games that he had this year. In the three of his last four games, he threw for at least 300 yards and had a rushing touchdown. I mean, I think he is a player to watch for sure in this one.
Yeah, definitely. And like Trey said, you know, you just need to feed everything through Nick as you have throughout the year. I expect to see him throw the ball, you know, at least 40 to 50 times in this game, just kind of knowing what that offense, you know, likes to roll out. But yeah, when you kind of look at the matchup here, Louisiana comes in just a polar opposite team. I mean, they're a top 30 rushing offense. They're the only FBS team with three players with at least 600 rushing yards. So you're going to see a lot of dudes. They're going to be rotating them out, you know, different situations, whatever. And that's an area that Delaware has gotten burned on this year, 89th in rushing defense this year. But you kind of look at the way they closed out the year. We just talked about how hot Nick was there at the end of the year. Their last three conference games, they had only allowed a little over 3 yards a carry to opponents. So they kind of slowly start, you know, again, we go back to that conversation of you're seeing a whole new level of football this year being in the FBS. And I think as that continued to go on, you saw a lot of progress in some of these other areas. I mean, obviously they knew what they were going to get out of Nick in this offense. But when you look at just area, you know, the special teams, the defense, all the other facets of the game really started to come together at the end of the year. So if they can continue to do that, I mean, I think stopping a run is really going to be the only way that they're going to be able to beat Louisiana.
All right. Anything else on that, Trey? Are you making the road trip to both?
I will be at both.
All right.
I'll be at all of
them.
Oh. Ooh.
Okay. All right. You got a lot of
busy
travel,
man. Right?
Yeah. All right. Well, again, that one is the 68 Ventures Bowl coming up here in Mobile, Alabama, Wednesday, December 17th. Delaware versus Louisiana on ESPN at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. All right, just turning the calendar to the next day.
Yeah.
Again, like I said, we've got a jam-packed week coming up on Thursday, December 18th. We've got the Xbox Bowl, which we've seen some really fun stuff coming out from that bowl game already this morning. The Xbox Bowl here in Frisco, Texas, Missouri State taking on Arkansas State on ESPN2 at 8 p.m. Central Time. Let's get to it.
Yeah, I mean, Missouri State, another team making the FBS Bowl debut, had a really dominant debut season. You go back and look at the win over Marshall, the win over Liberty, just their ability to win on the road, played some really gritty games. They hung with WKU for a little while. In that one, you know, obviously Jacob Clark getting knocked out of that game kind of, you know, hindered them from getting a big upset. But yeah, really all year they were just making lots of noise in year one. So again, just as I said, you know, being excited about Delaware getting the opportunity, equally excited for the Bears. This one is kind of an interesting one, right? Because fortunately, you know, we were talking all week last week that we were like, all right, you know, all the dominoes had started to, you know, mostly fall, and we thought that like we were kind of safe on the coaching side.
Not so fast.
Yeah. You know, good for Ryan Beard. He gets a great opportunity at Coastal Carolina, but obviously so Missouri State will be without him for the bowl game coming up. So, you know, there's just going to be, obviously at this point in the year, you still have your identity. There's not going to be a whole lot of change there, but I imagine for the guys just kind of off the field, it's going to be a little tough, and maybe they'll have a little extra edge, just because of that situation. So, I think the biggest thing I'm looking at in this one, two of the best passing offenses in the group of five, you know, Missouri State led by Jacob Clark, and then Arkansas State, 35th in the nation in passing offense. So we're going to see a lot of fireworks in this one, I think.
Yeah, lots of points scored, lots of long downfield passes. Excited to watch that one for sure. Trey, anything else you want to add on this game? I think that this is a good draw for Missouri State, sitting at 7-5 on the season, Arkansas State at 6-6 there in the Sun Belt. What are you thinking about this one?
Hey, before I get into just my overall thoughts on the game, a huge shout out to all of our ballparkers. They've been great, obviously, as we've kind of worked to see which teams will follow these bowl game. So shout out to them for, you know, just being so accommodating and being transparent in the process.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Big shout out to them. But to Missouri State, I'll say this. I think Missouri State is a really, really good football team. Again, Jacob Clark, he leads the way, knowing that, again, he's the super senior, right? And you've seen it. Even in games that he's missed, he's been on the sideline, he's been involved, he's been engaged. And it feels like no matter what is happening in the game, particularly when Missouri State has been down, like they just had this confidence about him because you had Jacob there just leading the way. I think that regardless of, you know, where the game could be in the third, fourth quarter, I think Missouri State is going to have a unique opportunity to win the game based on the leadership of Jacob Clark, based on the leadership of all the coaches that have been up at, even with Coach Beard not being there. I think they'll be ready to rock and roll. Really looking forward to, one, who all plays in this game.
Mm-hmm.
They had some people kind of in the transfer portal here lately, but certainly looking forward to the exciting matchup. And hopefully, yeah, we come out.
Yeah.
And Trey brings up a really good point, right? Because we haven't really talked about that. Because fortunately, actually, Jackson State and Delaware are the two of the rare programs so far. I'm sure that there's a lot behind the scenes that we don't know about yet, but are the ones that we haven't seen any guys entering the portal yet. Missouri State is one that, yeah, Trey kind of alluded to, that there are a few guys there, and you know, you're not sure how some programs want to handle that in terms of if they're letting them play, if they are just kind of cutting them off and letting them go. You know, we're in year one with this new portal window. It doesn't open until early January, but you still have guys that are announcing they're intending to enter the portal, so it's kind of already out there, but you know that they are still somewhat affiliated with the program. But so a disclaimer to whatever we're about to highlight here, that it might be we might be talking about some guy that
in
ends
2 days
up not playing,
yes,
in some of these games. But yeah, I think the other piece of really for both teams that I'm looking at is, you know, we talked a lot about the capabilities through the air for both teams. Shamari Lawrence from Missouri State is someone who's really come on hot here at the end of the year. I mean, we knew just from seeing him at FIU what he was capable of, but you look at the last three games, he's rushed for a touchdown in each game, averaging 122 yards per game. So when you pair that, you complement that with what Jacob Clark can do through the air, especially if, again, you know, we talk about if there are certain guys that don't play, if he has a weapon or two that ends up not being available to him and they need to kind of balance the offense out a little bit more, he could become a huge X factor in this game. And then on Arkansas State's side, you look at they have three players with at least 100 rush attempts, tied for the most in the FBS. So they have a lot. They're going to see a lot of guys there on that side of the ball too, which is, again, somewhere where Missouri State can struggle with against the run. But, you know, again, going back to the piece on Coach Beard, you know, Missouri State, seven games decided by seven or fewer points this year. So, again, you wouldn't think that it makes that much of a difference at this point in the year, but you just hope that some of the coaches that are around that did play into some of these close games are able to kind of keep the guys together, tell them what they need to tell, you know, show them what they need to show to make some adjustments in games, whatever it may be, to come out on the other side of it with a win. So,
all right. Expecting big things out of the Bears in this one. Again, that is the Xbox Bowl taking place here in Frisco, Texas on Thursday, December 18th. Missouri State taking on Arkansas State on ESPN2 at 8 p.m. Central Time. All right. Finishing out the week, not the bowl game schedule because we are still rolling on that, but finishing out the week here for Conference USA reps in bowls, we've got the Myrtle Beach Bowl taking place on Friday, December 19th. The Conference USA Champions, Kennesaw State taking on Western Michigan on ESPN at 10 a.m. 10 a.m. Central Time, everyone.
Bright and early.
Let's get to it. That'll be a fun one. Super excited. We mentioned Coach Beard leaving Missouri State for Coastal Carolina, but Kennesaw State got their man. Jerry Mack signs an extension with the Owls. I know that they are very excited to have him back for the next couple of seasons. So I'm just so excited for them in this program and this game, going 10-3 on the season in their first year of eligibility for a bowl or a Conference USA championship, and they're just going to go and win the whole thing, I think.
Yeah, and that's the tough part. Like, you look at some of these other programs that did lose their coaches, that are, they're going to be without those guys, and you, your mindset going into the game, whether you're a player or a fan or whatever, is now like, well, what does the future hold, right? Because now we're having to start back over at square one, whereas like a lot of our schools other than Missouri State, and I trust that there's a lot of good options still out there for them to make a great hire, but for a lot of our other schools that are retaining their coaches, it's totally different because, you know, now you have the ability to play some guys, you know, are still going to be there next year. You have, there's so much more potential to lay a foundation for next year in these games. And you hope that they win these games, but I think there's even more to it there that you're able to kind of work on some things. And because it's kind of a low leverage game that, you know, if you want to try some things out in the playbook that you didn't get to try out in the regular season or whatever it may be, these kind of provide some opportunities. But anyway, getting off that soapbox, I love this game, mostly because anytime you have conference champions facing off in a game like this, obviously outside of the playoff, is awesome because you have two teams that had incredible years and they're just trying to cap it off, you know, even better, you know, putting the cherry on top. So you have both Kennesaw State and Western Michigan trying to do that in this one. Kind of, again, another story where you have Kennesaw State making their bowl debut. Western Michigan, no stranger to bowl games. They've been at 11 since 2000. But I think this one's just going to come down to Amari Odom. You know, you look, we talked about him a lot going into the championship game where, you know, in that first game against Jack State, he was extremely uncharacteristically inefficient in that game, you know, throwing interceptions, just plays that, you know, busted plays, whatever. And then you looked at how he responded in those 2 weeks after, and we talked about it in the press conference with the coaches going into this game, is he completely turned around and put that game in the rear view and turned into a whole different quarterback. And then he goes and puts up the second best completion percentage in championship game history and leads a game-winning touchdown drive. So the play that he has been putting out the last 3 weeks since that game, I think just awoke something new in him. And so if he can continue to do that against a really talented Western Michigan defense, I think the Owls want to be in a good spot.
All right. Josh is picking the Owls. I don't expect Trey. I don't expect Trey to pick any of them.
I don't think any three of us are going to pick against any of our teams.
No,
but
probably not.
You can pick up on how I'm talking about the games, so yes, where you think I lie.
Especially with the way that these things matched up, though, because truly, in all of these games, I think that the Conference USA opponents really do have the edge on a lot of these other opponents that they're playing. But Kennesaw State, Trey, obviously, they are coming off of a huge victory in the Conference USA Championship. What are you expecting out of the team as they face Western Michigan?
Hey, I'll just say this. I'm going back to something that Josh said earlier and about conference champions playing each other. You wish you probably had a little bit more of that throughout the bowl season, especially amongst the group of five. I think, again, kudos to JMU. Kudos to, obviously, Tulane for getting the CFP. That's huge, obviously, for us as a group collectively. But you do want to see those matches, whether it's runner-up or new champion or whatever the case may be. You really want to try to pit those teams against each other because, again, it just creates this environment where you just never know what can happen, particularly in a neutral site championship game. And so in my mind, I look at Kennesaw. Kennesaw is a well-balanced team. I think, again, Amari Odom, again, the dude is spectacular. Again, Josh alluded to his growth throughout the season. I can remember when he, you know, really had his start at Arkansas State and how he played in that game. And you're like, man, like this guy's like, and he had a couple of plays when they played Indiana. You see, I'd be like, he should be playing a little bit more. Like he looks again, he just has something about him that really stood out. But I look at some of their role players being here. I think, in my opinion, he got hurt in the championship game, got knocked out. Again, I think that hurt their offense and what they're able to do holistically. So you hope that, again, they're able to put together a really good stretch offensively. And then defensively, man, they have playmakers defensively. Again, the way Kev Offer came back from his injury at Jack State, now he played against, you know, Jack State primary weapon on the outside. I think those are things that I look at. You know, what are the matchups going to be throughout that game that's really going to help option Kennesaw State come out the top.
And I mean, I really think that, and you alluded to this a little bit, they put together their most complete game all season when they needed it most, I think, in the Conference USA Championship, showing that they can come back from being down and come back from adversity and things like that. So really looking forward to the way that they play in this one. But I know that there are some matchups offensively and with Brock Lowry there on Western Michigan's side that we're kind of looking at. And I don't know, Josh, if you want to speak to those a little bit about the playmakers on the field on the other side of the ball as well, or on the other side of the, I guess, the whole field on the other sideline there where they could have a little bit of a hiccup there for the Owls.
Yeah, and that's, someone asked me about this game earlier and I was just like, the MAC teams are so weird to us because we don't play them a whole lot in the non-conference. And even then, it's early in the year. You don't really know, like, neither team, you know, everyone's still trying to figure their stuff out a little bit. And so I really got to see it last year when Jack State played Ohio and you got to see Parker Navarro. And I think he was a very similar quarterback to Brock Lowry, just from the little bit I've seen. So I don't want any MAC fans coming after me and be like, this guy's no idea what he's talking about. But just this, the idea of this mobile quarterback that, you know, has a lot of talent in his kind of armory, I guess. But because Brock, one of seven quarterbacks to rush for 900 yards and 10 touchdowns this season. So if I'm Kennesaw State, I'm just pulling up Caden Creel film from those two games and just and it didn't go well for him. Yeah. So, I mean, but you just got to figure out where can we make some little adjustments here to get this guy stopped? Because, I mean, like I mentioned, Caden Creel averaged 7.5 yards per carry and then three touchdowns in those two matchups between the regular season and the championship game. So that's going to be the biggest question mark that they need to answer defensively, because I think in that defensive front, they got, you know, they gave Jack State fits in that championship game getting into the backfield. So they need to continue to do that, against a very talented quarterback in Brock Lowry.
And you look at their rushing offense outside of Brock Lowry as well, because they are 22nd in the country in rushing offense, Western Michigan is. And we watched how Kennesaw State performed against Jacksonville State and in that Liberty game there at the end of the season where things almost went very awry for the Owls, right. And they've got to stop the run.
Yeah, and I mean, there's only, you know, there's not a whole lot of Cam Cooks and Evan Dickens out there. So, I mean, they just got it was just a poor scheduling thing of just having, you know, those guys in 3 of 4 weeks that you were just getting burned on defense. So you got to know that those guys are just tired of being run on, right? So I hope that that's something they really answer to in a lot of their prep work. But I think that, and then again, Amari Odom just remaining efficient, 12 touchdowns, no turnovers in his last three games, while completing 72% of his passes. I mean, that just has to be, you know, the end all be all for Kennesaw State. And I think, again, going back to what Trey said too, having Gabe Benyard back in that offense, when he was out, they had zero explosiveness because he is their main downfield threat. So, and that's how they're going to beat this Western Michigan defense too, because they don't allow, you know, you to build a lot of drives against them. So they're going to have to rely on those chunk plays that get them out to the quick starts that they're used to.
All right. Very excited to see two conference champions pitted against each other in this one. The Myrtle Beach Bowl in Conway, South Carolina, taking place on Friday, December 19th. Kennesaw State versus Western Michigan on ESPN at 10 a.m. Central Time. Everyone, get up, get your coffee, sit down on your couch or at your desk and watch some bowl game football. All right. Turning the calendar over to the next week now, you got some other exciting things happening this weekend for sure across the college football landscape. But we'll pick things up with the New Orleans Bowl happening on Tuesday, December 23rd, WKU versus Southern Miss on ESPN at 4:30 p.m. Central Time. Two former Conference USA foes going against each other. Very excited for this one. WKU ending the season at 8-4, Southern Miss at 7-5. I'm switching things up. I'm starting with Trey this time. Sorry, Josh.
Deal.
Trey.
I was 4 years old. I actually had a question for Josh. Because when was the last time this matchup actually occurred? Do you know?
And would have been
21, right?
Yeah, probably 2021. The last time that we had seven bowl teams.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, I think about Southern Miss without a coach. I think about Tyson Hilton. Again, WKU being one of those teams that have appeared in bowl games for forever.
Yes. Right.
And so I think about, again, what WKU is bringing to the table. Mm-hmm. They hardly had anybody hurt throughout the duration of the season. And so when you look at that, you look at, again, their redshirt freshman quarterback, you know, again, their run game, they really are able to take pressure off of him and allow him to be a free-flowing guy that can make decisions, make all the throws like he's done throughout this, the latter half of the season. I like Southern Miss in this game, again, based on what we've seen, because we've had, again, WKU has played Jack State, who played Southern Miss earlier this year. Mm-hmm. So I look at the comparison of teams, and I think everything, especially in bowl season, is about matchups. I just like a team who is more efficient offensively with being balanced, and then rather than just, again, relying on teams who really can't score. Southern Miss can get stuck in this low where they can't score a lot of points. Again, this is based on what I've seen, particularly when they play later in the season against South Alabama. And then I forgot what they ended up with in the end of the season. But again, just looking at them statistically, there were lows where they were just not as efficient offensively. And so, again, I look at WKU. WKU is an efficient offense. They are well-equipped to score a lot of points. I favor that more so in bowl games than anything else.
Yeah, and I'll jump on that too, because you talked about how inefficient they were towards the end of the year. They lost their last three games of the season, and in those three games, they allowed their opponents to complete nearly 80% of their passes, and they only had one interception, which is crazy because Southern Miss tied for the FBS lead in interceptions at the end of the year.
Wow.
But they still only had one in their last three games. So that became, yeah, such a part of their defensive identity, and they didn't have that, right? And when you're watching a Rodney Tisdale who's playing some of the best ball as a 19-year-old kid, and what's crazy is, like, he won our freshman of the year off of five games.
Not really.
When you look at his game log, he won it off of five games, but he was just that impressive in those games. 67, almost 68% completion rate. He does struggle a little bit with interceptions, just because that's just kind of a result of WKU's offense. They're taking a lot of shots. He's spreading the ball all across the field. So that's obviously something for the Southern Miss defense is, you know, if they continue that trend that they ended the year on, I mean, Rodney Tisdale is about to go out there and again look like, you know, what we've seen the last 5-6 weeks. But both these defenses, you know, I talked about Southern Miss, their ability to force mistakes. WKU, we know, is just as capable of, you know, kind of forcing that mayhem. So it's going to be which of these quarterbacks is really on their game in this one, making smart decisions, who has the better game plan to protect the ball and kind of control the game, you know, do what they want to do.
Yeah, we need the turnover tops to step it up in this one,
literally,
I think.
Literally, yeah.
Yes, that's Josh's favorite thing to talk about for sure. But yeah, really excited to see this one. I do like what you said, Trey, about the coaching. It does play a part in the game. Whether we like it or not, the transfer portal and the coaching carousel both play a part when it comes to bowl season. So that'll be interesting to watch there on that one too. So New Orleans Bowl, WKU has been a frequent in this bowl. They've been there quite a few times looking for another victory. You wrote death, taxes, and WKU in a bowl game on here. Seventh consecutive bowl appearance for the Hilltoppers, hoping that they will come out on top of this one. Again, the New Orleans Bowl taking place on Tuesday, December 23rd, 8-4 WKU versus 7-5 Southern Miss on ESPN at 4:30 p.m. Central Time. All right, we've got two left. All right, man, let's just roll on through, everyone. Lots of exciting things happening here for Conference USA this year. Next one coming up on Friday, December 26th. Enjoy your Christmas with your family. Wake up on Friday and watch some more college football. Why not?
Yeah.
The Serve Pro First Responders Bowl is again Friday, December 26th. We're seeing the FIU Panthers sitting at 7-5 versus UTSA, another Conference USA matchup of years past on ESPN at 7 p.m. Central Time. So excited for this Panthers team, who has not reached a bowl game in several years, and they were looking really great at the end of the season coming into this one.
Yeah, and that was their big push, right, is they went 4-0 in November, and Tyson Helton's been one of the biggest proponents of that, right, is what you do November, they remember, right? And so that was one thing that I know Willie Simmons was hammering home with this team, because they had such an up and down year, and we kind of knew that by a year's end he would probably get them in a bowl game, but they knew going into that last stretch, you know, you're sitting at 3-5 and it's like, all right, this next game could spell, you know, every game you're on kind of a knife's edge with your bowl eligibility. And so, you know, led them to four straight victories, which is the longest winning streak in school history at any level. So, I mean, big for them just over the history of their program. But certainly for this, you know, first campaign under Willie Simmons, 173 points during the winning streak are the most in a four game span in school history as well. So
we're just breaking records.
The offense was rocking, and they did it with two quarterbacks. That's the craziest part is, you know, they kind of start to, you know, Kewon Jenkins gets banged up a little bit. And so Joe Pazanski kind of comes in, and we thought it was going to be another situation like we saw with Roddy Tisdale, with, you know, all these other teams that had were forced to put in backup quarterbacks that played well. He goes 3-0 as the starter. Kewon Jenkins comes back off the bench for almost a month and then has one of his best games of his career against Sam Houston to get him to 7-5 to finish the year. So it's just crazy that you have, you know, two guys that really, you know, I was texting Darren earlier. I'm like, do you have any idea who's going to play? And he's like, I think both are available. Like, so I really think you could see both play a very prominent role in this game.
And that's something, Trey, we talked about this with some folks, radio guys. I remember talking about it a lot with Kennesaw State during the season, but it's not a two quarterback system for a lot of our teams that were played in the league this year. Mm-hmm. It's just we have two quarterbacks who can get out there and play anytime we need them to. So what are you thinking about this game? Whether it's the quarterback play, the defensive play for the Panthers, Keyshawn Owens getting out there and having a great game, which was he MVP? What was his?
He was offensive player. But he was on the first team there with Cam Cook.
So. Yeah. So what are you thinking about the FIU team against the Roadrunners in this one?
As Josh alluded to, one word that I can say about FIU's offense, explosive. Mm-hmm. They were explosive, obviously, through the air and on the ground. And I think that watching them over the last month of the season, I remember when they were 3-5, we were just starting to really have these bowl conversations. And people would ask me, hey, who do you think is going to be bowl eligible? FIU. You think? Yes, absolutely. Again, it was just watching them throughout the season. They just had this maturity as the season kind of played on that you saw play out on the field. Mm-hmm. And so, again, you look at them, they have been aligned defensively for the last several years, okay, really being consistent in that defensive line front, and then on the back end being able to really control a lot of – I point to this game when they played WKU. Mm-hmm. No one saw that, but to me it was because they have a really good defensive backfield that is able to obviously put guys in a position to make plays on the ball. And for me, again, they're explosive offensively, but their defense is aligned. And I like, again, that combo. Explosive offense, steady defense, will win you a bunch of games. I think this is only an upward trajectory, particularly with that amount of talent that FIU has in their roster.
Yep, you definitely look at the amount of talent they had throughout the year. There were times at the beginning of the season where Josh and I were like, are we having a CUSA championship in Miami this year?
Right.
Like, it was a possibility. They looked great. And, you know, certain things didn't go their way throughout the course of the season, but they finished on a great note, like we said. But going back to that Panthers defense, they had 3-plus sacks in each of their last five games of the season, UTSA sitting at 37th in sacks allowed. Anything else for you, Josh, that sticks out to you when it comes to this one?
Yeah, so I put that one in there because I think when we talked about the transfer portal piece earlier, that's one area that FIU, again, we don't know whether they're, you know, these guys are going to play or not, but we know that three of their four main guys in that secondary are going to be in the portal.
Yeah.
And so if that part of your game is going to take that much of a hit, you better hope the dudes in the trenches are getting to the quarterback and preventing some big explosive plays the other way, because that could be, you know, problematic for FIU defensively. I think, yeah, offensively, we know exactly what to expect because we're going to see a great game out of Keyshawn Owens. He's trying to, you know, not sure what his future holds professionally, but, you know, just his journey collegiately, you know, he's sitting on year six now. He finally got this chance to be the guy and answer the call in more ways than we could have imagined. So him tying a bow on his college career, I think, is going to be a big storyline. What we, you know, who and what we see out of the quarterback position from FIU is going to be big. And then, yeah, just defensively, can they kind of fill some of the gaps on the back end if that becomes necessary to you know, come away with a win in this one.
Yep. Definitely cheering for the Panthers in this one. They've had some rough seasons over the past several years. Great season here for them. And then there are, I know that both of you will agree with me, there are people that you meet doing this job throughout the years that you get to talk to and that you just root for throughout the season. Keyshawn Owens was FE. We did an interview with him early in the season. And ever since then, I was like, that kid, he's humble. He's nice. He's a joy to talk to. So good luck to him and the Panthers the rest of the way. Again, that one is the ServPro First Responders Bowl, Friday, December 26th, FIU taking on the Roadrunners of UTSA on ESPN at 7 p.m. Central Time.
At Ford Stadium.
At Ford Stadium. You had to throw that one in there. Our resident pony sitting over there. All right. The final bowl game of our Conference USA slate here, the Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl taking place there in Shreveport, Louisiana, Tuesday, December 30th, Louisiana Tech taking on Coastal Carolina on ESPN at 1 p.m. Central Time. They're back in the Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl. Louisiana Tech, a frequent visitor to this bowl because of their location, obviously. But they finished the season 7-5. This team, again, another team that we talked about throughout the season as a possible Conference USA championship contender, just didn't work out that way towards the end of the season. Trey, I'm going to start with you again here. Hope I'm not catching you off guard. But what are you expecting out of the Bulldogs in this one?
Really trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Again, you look at them over the last several weeks of the season, and they were really just trying to figure out, what they were going to do offensively.
Yeah.
Defensively, they have been really good. And it was part of the reason why we were thinking, like, man, Louisiana Tech is the best team in Conference USA right now. And we were having these conversations about who we thought could be in our championship game, you know, obviously in like week 5 or 6. And they were sitting there like, man, this team looks really good. And I think it was because of the way the defense was playing. And they were relying on their run game and being able to have those timely passes. I think Finley, obviously, at tight end is going to play a huge part in this game, right? Mainly because, again, who's going to line up the quarterback, how they're actually going to execute offensively. I look at them over the last 2 weeks of the season. I mean, they turn around and hand the ball off a good bit, mainly because of their own quarterback play. Obviously, injuries have played a key role there. But for me, it's Louisiana Tech is going to line up. They're going to try to run the football and play good defense on the back end. I think if they're able to do that, not turn the ball over, they'll give themselves a really good opportunity to win the game.
Josh, anything to add there?
Yeah, I mean, I think the rushing offense for Louisiana Tech is definitely going to be one of the biggest X factors in this one. They have 5 players this year with at least 3 rushing touchdowns, I think largely because of kind of that quarterback rotation, but also the, some of the guys that kind of came on later in the year. Andrew Burnett is someone that I look at, you know, down the stretch of the season that has been a huge player for them, has 5 of his 8 touchdowns in the last 2 games. He looks like a linebacker running as a running back. I mean, it's crazy, you know, watching his skill set with how big he is. But defensively, La Tech, you know, they're another one where we've kind of started to see the name start to pop up, and we're like, there's gonna be a lot of big shoes to fill on that defense. So again, if that becomes something, especially late in the bowl season, with them being on the quarter system, there's a lot of factors in here that could play into some of the decisions on whether or not those guys are able to play. Obviously, again, we don't know any of that stuff yet, but that could present a big problem for them. But we know what they can do on the turnover side. I think that's gonna be something where they really need to win this one, because Coastal Carolina very prone to turnovers. So if they continue to do that, that'll obviously help set up the offense in some good situations. And
definitely a tough one for us to talk about at this point, right? This is our last bowl game, December 30th, with what you were saying with the transfer portal and what we've talked about this entire season with that defensive backfield that they have. There's some guys who are absolutely ready and would be incredible pieces on some P4 football teams across the country for sure. You saw they played against LSU early in the season. I mean, just some really great stuff there. But, you know, obviously close for them. Hopefully a lot of fans will travel. I know it's a Tuesday, but hopefully they'll have some Bulldog faithful there in the stadium there, and it'll round out the Conference USA bowl game slate on a high note, I'm hoping. Fingers crossed. And then, you know, you talk about the coaching carousel thing with Coastal Carolina. I don't know what that looks like for them. I mean, you know.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point because, yeah, I mean, you talk about the portal side of it, but yeah, with the team going through a coaching change right now, obviously a lot of instability there too. So just kind of trying to figure out their identity for next year. Maybe that gives Louisiana Tech a better opportunity to kind of capitalize on it and get a win, but we'll see.
We will see indeed. Well, Trey, anything to add? I know you mentioned our bowl partners and how thankful we are for them, but anything just kind of to cap the Conference USA football season off for us before we head out here?
I'll say this. This is an important time for Conference USA in general. Obviously, as we look ahead not only to our bowl season, right, playing against five Sun Belt teams, one MAC team, one American team. Again, I think this sets us up for a tremendous opportunity to really highlight what our football product has been like throughout the season. I think, too, this is really can serve as a catalyst for next season, not just building up on some momentum that a lot of our teams have currently. And hopefully, again, we come out on top of all these games. I think each game that we go, we're like, man, this is a really good matchup that in many cases favor what we've done throughout the season or favor what our team has done throughout the season. So hopefully we see it. Hopefully we see all of our teams show up, obviously have a great time while they're, you know, at their respective bowl sites. While I'm getting done.
Love it.
Yeah, because I think, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the portal. You know, we can kind of revisit it once that window closes in mid-January. But, you know, you look at going back to Media Day, you know, we're previewing this year, and we had six new coaches when you factored in the two coaches of the new teams in the league, and then, you know, four coaching changes, and then really three second year coaches on top of that. So you had so much newness. No, people were still trying to figure a lot of things out. And so, again, using this as a catalyst for next year, where really only one of these teams has to go through that, and a lot of people can set a really good foundation for next year. And next year we can go into it saying, hey, you know, we got 10, 11, however many it ends up being, returning coaches, and you know, all these guys returning or all these guys coming in through the portal. We had seven bowl teams last year, so there's a whole lot more to sell for next year based on kind of how we finished the year out here. So I'm excited for the opportunity, for sure.
And just, I was counting as you were talking, five of those new coaches are in bowl games.
Yeah,
and five about of the seven that? Teams,
yep.
New head coaches.
Sarah, just a question for you. Again, as we look at the bowl season now, right, 82 teams for, 41 bowl games, not inclusive, obviously, or I think it's inclusive of the CFP.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What will this look like next season? That's a bigger question at this point in time. I get, you know, obviously reading the tea leaves, reading all the posts that people are making. What does bowl season look like in 2026? I think bowl are some questions that we all have to answer. Maybe we get somebody to come up with some really good concepts, see if it sticks or not. But I think it opens us up to a larger discussion. Obviously, we know how our bowl partners feel about the bowl season, what they're able to provide to our teams. But what does it do for the greater good of college football, and what does that look like moving forward? That's a question I really toss up to you, Sarah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people know this. Some people don't, I guess. My husband is a retired football coach, and he has a lot of thoughts on the fact that there are way too many bowls. But I think, you know, it comes down to, I see both sides of it, because from a student athlete perspective, a positive experience for the student athlete, I'd love them to get the opportunity to travel to bowls and to get the swag from the bowls and just to have that opportunity. But then you look at the coaching carousel and you look at the transfer portal windows and all of that, and it's like you just look at it and ask, does this make a whole lot of sense? And so I think that most fans and the general public would agree that some change needs to be made. Somebody needs to make some suggestions. What those are, though, I don't know. I don't know if I would be the best person on the committee for what those changes should be. But it will be interesting, I think, going into next year to see what this looks like. Of course, having two teams that made it in at the last second into the bowls to get us to seven. I love that for the league. I love that for the student athletes, for them to get that opportunity. But we'll have to see. And I'm just hoping, I want to go 7-0 this year. Mm-hmm. There is a trophy that used to be in this office for having the best winning percentage in bowl games in all of Division I. It was back in a year that we had seven teams and we won. We had the best winning percentage out of all of the conferences in our bowl games. So I don't know. Maybe we can get back
to reclaim that.
7-0.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Okay.
That's what I
like
want.
It. All right. Now, I like that question because I think it does bring a very interesting conversation. And there's just so many fun storylines, right? We've highlighted a lot of them that are in these bowls that I think a lot of people aren't going to pay a whole lot of attention to that aren't in our footprint or fans of our schools. And it's like there's still a lot of fun matchups out there that aren't, you know, part of the playoff. And again, going back to one of Trey's other points of, you know, using these as an opportunity to put the conference champions together, to put the, you know, we saw it last year. We got, you know, Jack State and Ohio. We get this year again with Kennesaw State and Western Michigan. And, you know, you just hope to see more of that. And maybe even, you know, as years go on and we kind of redo some of these, you know, some of these agreements come to an end and some of the people way more important than any of us in this room get to the table to have these conversations is, you know, you bring up, I'm not bringing this up as a, you know, a thing that's for sure going to happen, but if a G5 playoff, right? It, you know, does the New Orleans Bowl become part of that? Because it's a game that's so ingrained in its, you know, historically been the CUSA champion, the Sun Belt champion has played in that game a lot. So those kind of conversations, I'm very interested to see if they, you know, if they come to fruition. Just because I think for a lot of these games, I got the chance to go to New Orleans Bowl last year, and it's a very fun environment. And it's New Orleans, like it's awesome. It's just a fun experience for the student athletes, for everyone involved in the game. Like, you don't want to take that away from any of these games that, you know, that we have. And I know it's a lot, but there's still a lot of fun out there with them.
I don't know. I feel like, Trey, across lots of sports in the NCAA, expansion is just the name of the game. Like, we're expanding. We're expanding March Madness. We're expanding. Like, let's just expand all of the things. And so I don't know what it's going to look like. You may have some other insight there, but it was a good question that you posed for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, I just think we need to start asking the questions out loud. I mean, the things that we think about, obviously, excited offers, the things that we can sometimes talk about internally, we need to bring those things to life. And really, again, just see what sticks. Something may come out of those conversations that really makes sense. It aligns, obviously, with what we want to do moving forward. Obviously, I think there are a lot of people who would like to see a group of six playoff. I don't know that we'll get that next year. But I do think that there needs to be a way for, again, true champions to be determined. Whether that is, we do have a true champion, obviously, with the CFP. Mm-hmm. But what does the bowl season look like? Like, can there be a reimagination of what we do with bowl games, how they kind of tie into a system holistically, mm-hmm. and how do we move forward with building a bowl?
Yeah, well, especially when you look at the and obviously it's everything's so cyclical, even going back to the conversation about, you know, the coaching carousel and the portal and all that. Like, we're very fortunate, but obviously the American might have a totally different mindset going into bowl season this year because they just got gutted mm-hmm. from their coaching, you know, their coaching group. So yeah, I don't know. That's a really good question.
Very cerebral conversation that we have gotten into. I can tell you, Trey, there are some fans of ours on Twitter that are going to go very, like, they're going to go in depth on this. We may get an idea from Twitter. I don't know. I may have to be on the lookout for that so that I can send them your way. All right. Well, everybody, we really appreciate you for joining us here for our CUSA Insider Bowl preview show here on the show. And we've got seven Conference USA teams playing in seven different bowl games across the next 2 weeks. So be sure to tune into those. I ran them all down for you, but if you missed anything, you can go over to conferenceusa.com, check out that schedule page, and it's all there. And at this point, you should be following us on all of the social media platforms. But if you are not, you can find us at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram. If you're watching us right now, you've obviously found us on YouTube. We thank you very much. But if you haven't, just go to youtube.com, search Conference USA, and you can find us right there on the Conference USA homepage. A little CUSA Insider playlist will pop up right there. But if you're one of our audio-only listeners, we love you just as much. You can still find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. All right, Josh, it's been fun. Trey, we appreciate you so much for joining us on the show today. That is all we have for you today. You are listening to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph, signing off.